prepares us for good. Only when we experience the futility of humanity are we ready to enjoy the glory that God has in store for us. God is not doing it to you. He's doing it for you. God did not do it to those people in the days of the deluge. He did it for them. I know they went glug, glug, glug. But it's better than continuing in the way they were. That's right, folks. They died because it was necessary to cleanse the earth. And I know this is all of God. This is the hard thing for you to see. It's the hard thing for anybody to see that God is doing things that are look very difficult and look hard and like, why is God doing this? And the big picture to keep in mind is that he's doing it for the sake of experience. You simply must be brought through it to feel it, to feel your uselessness. And when things get bad, God stops it. He doesn't keep it going for eternity. You know, he guarded the way to the garden after Adam and Eve sinned, because if they were to eat of the tree of life, they would forever be in their state of imperfection. God will not let that happen. He stops things when they get so bad that everybody's miserable. You see a picture of that at night when you go to bed. You stop and you lay down your burdens. And God stopped the burdens of that earth at that time, of that world. It had to be that way. God was not mad. He was not vindictive. He just said, stop. I'm going to do something new. And when you see his calendar, you realize that he's working toward a goal, and that the evil goes first and the good comes later. I'm glad God does it that way. I want to read now a passage from Genesis 6, verse 5, from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. And seeing is Yahweh Elohim that much is the evil of humanity in the earth, and every form of the devices of its heart is but evil all its days. And regretting is Yahweh Elohim that he made humanity on the earth, and grieving to his heart. And saying is Yahweh Elohim, wipe will I the humanity which I have created off the surface of the ground, from human unto beast, and unto the moving animal, and unto the flyer of the heavens, for I regret that I have made them. I've always wondered, how is it that God himself created the earth? He made humanity the way it was, and yet he regrets that he made it. It makes him sound like he's changing his mind. He's confused. He doesn't know what he's doing. Well, let me explain this to you. When God is relating to mankind, we see figure of speech employed called condescension. The technical name is anthropopathia. It's God assuming the characteristics of a man, which he doesn't have. To base doctrine on these times in scriptures where God speaks of being regretful or sorrowful, or, oh, why did this happen? It is him in his condescension. When I see a nephew of mine born, I go into the kid's room and I go, hello, hi Joey, how's Joey today? Cute little baby. Now, somebody walks in there, and for some reason, they don't see the bassinet. All they see is Martin Zender in there going, oh, and they come out saying, Martin Zender's an idiot. He can't even talk. He's a big baby. Well, they're missing something, aren't they? They're missing that I'm condescending to the level of the infant in order to amuse it. It's just a cute little baby boy. And we do the same with young children. Now, I want you to go over there and sit down. And it's that we talk a different way. because we're condescending. And so this is God dealing with mankind. He's in the ballpark with them, working out and experience something that he has already planned ahead of time, which is to teach mankind that apart from God, mankind's way is futile. It says God regretted. Regretting is Yahweh Elohim that he made humanity on the earth, and grieving to his heart. We're seeing feelings. We're seeing that God does feel. And in the relative perspective here, in God's condescension, where he's taking the place and almost assuming the place of one of his created ones, we see that this is not something that he's delighting in. It's almost like a heavy sigh. I wish it didn't have to be this way. Now, absolutely, when we're not considering the relative viewpoint, when we're looking at God on his throne, we see that he is dictating all of this for the benefit of his creatures. But again, I cannot emphasize this enough. Whenever God is spoken of as having hands, or is my arm too short to save? Oh, we're going to base a doctrine on God having arms. No, it's anthropopathia. It's condescension. When God asks Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam, where are you? Oh, I'm going to base doctrine on that. Just like somebody coming in and seeing Martin Zender going, Martin's an idiot. Somebody walks into the garden and hears God saying, Adam, where are you? Oh, God doesn't know everything. No, he's asking for the sake of Adam. Adam, where are you? He wants Adam to answer him. He wants Adam to come to a realization that he can't hide from God. And he does that by assuming this role of ignorance. It's condescension. It's a figure of speech. That's not the way God is. It's the way God acts so that he can show us that he's in this with us. He's not on this golden throne, not involved with humanity. He's above and below at the same time, because he's God. So really, we're not seeing God is angry and resentful. Do you hear any of that here? That he's really furious? Listen to it. And regretting is Yahweh Elohim, and grieving to his heart. And he says, stop. And he creates a man. He allows for a man. Allah, I hate that word. Why did I use it? He causes a man to be born, Noah. And in him, God is going to stop what has been going on and do something new. And it happens quick. He sends the waters. People take one breath and they die. It's a cleansing of the earth. You know, Melanie and I are using this colon cleanse stuff right now. You know, we take in a lot of poisons in the course of a day, and we get all full of impurities and toxic waste, and a lot of it settles into your colon. And you know, you got to keep yourself healthy in this eon, because all kind of things are attacking you. And so this colon cleanse, it advertises itself as something that's going to cleanse your body of toxic poisons and waste and lead and mercury and all these bad things. And we haven't been through this program yet, but people who do it say, man, it's amazing. You feel like a new person. You're cleansed, and you can think better because these impurities are washed away. And it's like, ah. And so the sin on the earth at this time had gotten so bad that a colon cleanse was needed for the sake of the earth, for the sake of starting something new. Now, I'll admit, this new thing went bad too, and that's by design, because first we had to see that a paternal way of ruling was no good. Adam and the fatherly types, his sons, it was a loose sort of government on the earth before the flood. Can't even call it a government, really. There were no formal governments, no nations. But we had to see that lax way of ruling didn't work. And now we're seeing in this eon that governments and nations and this strictness, the police, the cops, the governments, even in this eon where we have greater measures of control, that is not working either. And the purpose of the eons, again, is to show the ineptness of man's rule. I gotta tell you that. The ineptness. Even with a new start, you're still going to find man not doing it and not doing it right. And that is the purpose of government today. I got to tell you that the purpose of government is to fail. It's not supposed to work. That's why you're supposed to rejoice when you see what's going on in the Middle East, when you're looking at it through the scope of the eons, when you're far enough back where you can see the whole forest here. You see that, well, holy cow, if we're in a parallel time today that Noah was in, according to Jesus in Matthew 24, then of course we're going to see a time of ineptness in government, and we're going to see nations in chaos and turmoil. And the reason the earth is constituted the way it is now, with this chaos and the surging seas and the day and the night, is because it's typical. Things you see on earth now in the physical realm are typical of things in the spiritual realm. That's why the new heavens and the new earth, if you go into Revelation chapter 21, has no sea. The new earth, after the great combustion Peter talks about, is not going to have a sea on it. It's going to be solid land, because the sea is typical. It is an allegory of the surging of mankind and the evil. And there's no day and night on in that earth either, the new earth. Day and night only belongs to the three evil eons. Day and night. Night is not natural. There's going to be no night on the new earth. And you're not going to need the sun for day either, because the Spirit of God is going to illuminate it. Which I think it might have done on that first pristine earth, because we don't see the sun and moon created until the readjustment at the beginning of Eon 2. And at the end of Eon 2, we have Noah's flood. And we have a plunging into the most wicked eon ever, the current wicked eon. But all this is preparing us for the good eons to come. And that's what we're looking forward to, aren't we? I am. So don't panic today when you see nations in chaos. It has to be that way. It's going to stop, because these are parallel times. And God is going to make it stop. Make it stop. Just make it stop, please. It's going to stop. Nick stopped it at the end of Eon 2 with a crisis. There is a crisis coming today at the end of Eon 3. This turmoil is going to stop, and God is going to inaugurate a new world and thus a new eon. It's going to be a new arrangement of things, a new time period. And even that is going to stop to usher in the heavens and the earth. So hang in there. You're going to see the consummation. And when you do, you're going to justify God for everything he does. You got to feel it to believe it. And that's what we're doing now. We're feeling it. It hurts, but I'm in it with you. And God is in it with us. I'm Martin Zenner. Tomorrow, the rousing finale. Melody and me. Oh, I didn't even tell you what the ark was made of. Gonna do that tomorrow and tell you about Melody and me in the ark-shaped hotel in Canton, Ohio, 1993. I'm Martin Zenner. Let's see. Yeah, believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.